talking about angels and messengers. I don't know. It just seems to be one of those things. I don't know what you think about angels. I believe in angels because the Bible says very clearly in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says that angels are ministering spirits to those who are being saved. That God created angels. He made them. He created angels before He made us. And in fact, there's three different types of angels. There's the archangels. Then there's just below them the cherubim and the seraphim. And then there's just below them the regular, what you would know as angels. Now, the angels, there are multitudes. There are thousands. There are hundreds of thousands of angels. The Bible records legions of angels. Now, above them are the seraphim and the cherubim. Now, those would be more like the officers, kind of those that oversee certain legions. Above that, there are three archangels spoken of in Scripture. There's Michael, there's Gabriel, and there was Lucifer. And I say there was Lucifer. He's not an archangel anymore. He's a fallen angel. Michael, it was the angel that, whenever you read in the Bible, his job over a third of all the angels was this. Michael in Scripture is the angel that's the warrior. He's the one that's in charge of any time there's a battle or a fight. And I'll tell you, there's days in my life I need Michael in my life. I don't know about you, but there are some battles sometimes. There's Gabriel. We find Gabriel making all the great announcements. He's kind of the newspaper guy in heaven. He was, every time there was a great announcement, instead of just sending one of his angels, the archangel himself would show up to announce the birth and other different types of places. And then there was Lucifer. And his job, over a third of heaven, was music. And you can read that in Isaiah chapter 14. He was over all of the music of heaven. And of course, he rebelled and became known as the Satan or the Deceiver. That is his name. Actually, I'm sorry, that is his title. His name is Beelzebub. His title is the Satan or the Deceiver. Now, that's what you know about. I don't want to get into all the different details of what angels do and don't do, other than this. At the moment in time that God had this announcement, all of heaven and all of the angels of heaven were just waiting to tell a secret that they knew. Now, they did not know the exact time. They did not know the exact place until it happened. The angels are not omniscient. They don't know everything. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, angels, what you and I have seen about God, what we know about God, angels long to look into these things. Angels were just, could you imagine heaven? When's it going to happen? They had a secret that they wanted to tell. I don't know when God told the angels that this was going to happen at Christmas, but they knew it was coming. They knew that Jesus Christ was on His way, but they just didn't know how, when, or where. They might have had some ideas of Bethlehem, and they're looking at the prophecies in the Scriptures. I don't know about you, but this morning, I can tell you, I'm not really good about keeping secrets. You know, I was thinking about this whole message. Hark the herald, hark the herald. Let's translate that song. Hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Here's the translation. Hark, listen up, the herald, the news. The angels are about to tell you something great. So what really captures me in this whole story is where it says in your Bible in verse 13, suddenly. That word suddenly means they didn't know until it happened. And then all of heaven broke loose. You know, you hear that in this world, don't you? People say, not that. You hear the opposite. Well, all hell has broken loose. You know what that means? Things are a mess. Things are a mess. Everything's falling apart. The health, the economy, the war. You hear that. But how many people are going around going, all of heaven is broken loose? Wouldn't that be great if people said that instead? What just happened to you? Man, heaven just broke loose in my house. Heaven just... And I've heard this. I grew up with this. Well, it looks like hell is broken loose in the house. And I thought, I better run. Because I'm sure if hell's broken loose, I had something to do with it. Heaven is broken loose. I want that to happen in my house. Heaven breaking loose in my house. What does that mean? Well, we know when the other happens, look out. Something bad's going on. The angels knew this. I'm not real good at keeping secrets. And in fact, in our house, the hardest thing for me to do, I got to tell you, shopping at Christmas this year has been the hardest thing for me to do. My wife came up to me. She knows in my office what's there. I bought her this beautiful coffee maker. I thought it was the nicest thing. I had it sent here to the church thinking, good, she'll never know. She comes into the office with me that day, and who shows up but the postman. Hey, I got a box here for you. She goes, oh, I wonder what's in it. I said, that's for me. It's got my name. I know, it's got your name. Let me open it. And one of our board members was here, and he saw us interacting in our marriage relationship. I said, don't touch it. She goes, what's in it? I said, don't touch it. It's not yours. She opened it. Oh, look, the coffee maker your mom and dad have. That's great. Well, who'd you get it for? The church. Which I did. I got one for the church and got one for her. She came up to me the other day. She said, oh, by the way, you don't have to give me that coffee maker. But what I'd really like, so I'm shopping the other day. And I said, you go to that end of the mall. I'll go to this end of the mall and I'll catch up with you later down at Target. As I'm down at my end of the mall, I turn around with bags and go, hi, what are you doing here? She goes, I couldn't remember what you had said. And I'm going, I said, see you later, and I left. There are no secrets in our house. Keeping secrets. Because it's Christmas time. What's in the box? I had something for my daughter. What's in the bag? Can we open it tonight? Did Jackie and I get to open it tonight? So yes, I did get you one thing, and you can't open it tonight. And I just can't keep, I don't know. I've learned in our day and age that could you imagine Jesus born today, why he was born when he was, with our media, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, and all the other things? Could you imagine in the middle of Bethlehem a baby, the Son of God's being born? What kind of chaos that would have been, trying to keep that secret. No wonder why God kept it such a secret, and the angels were so excited to jump out and say, it's happening! Keeping secrets. I think back 1944, December or June 6, 1944, at 3 a.m., a huge armada of 6,000 ships. 6,000 864 converted merchant ships, 4,126 landing craft set sail for Normandy for D-Day with 47 convoys. And Hitler knew nothing about it. How in the world do you keep that a secret? They carried 200,000 seamen, 185,000 soldiers, 20,000 vehicles. They dropped 20,000 men behind enemy lines in an airdrop or in gliders. Hitler knew nothing about it. How do you keep that? How do 500,000 men, 47 convoys, stay a secret? Not today. Oh, today's war. I mean, I watched today's war. I watched when we invaded. Remember when we went into Iraq? You could see it. It was on TV. I'm watching going, well, this is great. Just tell them, hey, we'll be there in a couple of days. Here we come. We're coming down this road. All of heaven was on the edge of its seat. Today, you want to communicate something today. I mean, this whole thing with Jesus would have been on every news station. Our telecommunication, there's three ways. You want to tell a secret today, there's three ways to get the word out. I mean, you got television, you got telephones, and you got telewoman. Well, why don't we just pray and go home? I may not want to go there. I'm going shopping alone and having Christmas alone. Might as well get in trouble at the very beginning of this thing. And I know you're laughing. Some of you are like, that's not true. Oh, you know people you can't tell secrets to. You know the people. These guys had a secret. And you know people who get something, you tell them something, and they're just like, oh, can I just tell someone? You know, when people are pregnant, I remember Todd and Kelly, I think they're here. They were here earlier. Are they here? Got their birth invitation. It was this little card, had a picture of them, and said something about, you know, a trip to here, so much money, you know, $100-something, a card like this, $1.95, having another baby, priceless. that was the coolest card. They were just dying to tell people, we got this card. I said, that's the neatest card. But people probably knew, and you were just dying to tell. I've got to tell someone, but you can't tell anybody until you tell the folks. That's the first thing. But you know, you tell a secret to someone, and they just go, I got to tell, oh, this is too good to keep. I got to tell someone. You ever have that where you just know something, and you got to tell it? The angels are in heaven. They're just about to burst. That's what that word suddenly means. They're about to burst this news. They've been waiting for thousands of years for this to happen. They've been waiting. These messengers have been waiting just to tell the news, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. They're waiting for this to happen. And God says, I'm going to let the angels tell it. And so no wonder why it says suddenly. Suddenly this happens. I mean, this thing bursts open. And I don't know if you've ever had something inside. You said, I just got to tell someone something. That's me. It's hard. You tell me something, I have a hard time. They're saying, you're a pastor. You mean we can't tell you secret? Yes, you can. But when it comes down to stuff that's not personal or in counseling, I hear news. I have just got to tell everybody. It's just, if you get excited about something, you just can't hold it back. It's kind of like that. I mean, it just gets inside, and you just go, I got to tell someone. And someone says, and they can see it. They know you know something, and they know you want to tell them. And that's what these angels are like. You just want to burst open. It's just shaking inside. It's kind of like my kids have told me there's this neat thing that they do now. When I was younger, we used to make these little things that would go off, shaking up pop and squirt. They've got this really neat thing now. They could take a 2 liter of Coke, and you put a Mentos in it. Of Diet Coke, and you put a Mentos in it, and it activates something in there. I don't know what it is, but I saw this one time, and it'll shoot the Coke and empty that bottle 30 feet in the air. It is the neat. Yeah, some of you are going to go home and go, hey, I know what I'm doing today. I thought it'd be a great thing to do here today, but I'm not a youth pastor, and I don't want to make everything a mess. But I think about that God had everything there, a baby born, the Son of God, peace on earth. And could you see the angels? Finally, mankind is going to get the Son of God. What great news. Just think about it. What great news that these angels had. And these angels are the messengers. And these angels have a message for us. And I look at this and I go, they're just waiting to tell this news. Because for 4,000 years, God has got this canvas. And He's an artist. And He climbs under there every day. And He takes His hammer and chisels. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, this is a beautiful picture. I think it's verse 19. It says, all of creation has been waiting, eagerly waiting for the will of God to be unveiled. Well, that word is where you get the English word unveiled. You get revelation. We get the Greek word in that is apokalypsis. And here's the picture. It says this, all of creation has been every day watching God, but not knowing what He's doing because He has this canvas over His workmanship. And He's under there, and you can hear Him with His hammer and chisels. And He's just working away. And all the angels in heaven are watching. All of mankind is watching. And nobody knows. It says all of creation has been waiting for this one moment. And they can't wait. And in Romans 8, it says, and all of creation is waiting eagerly. It's kind of like that bottle. It's God's about to put the Mentos into it. He's about to say, and here's the angels. You know what their job was? Calling everybody in town to come to the city square. Hey, everybody, come here. Look, come here. Today's the day that the artist of heaven is going to unveil what He's been working on for 4,000 years. And the angels are going, they didn't get to peek either. They go, we get to see it too. And all of heaven is on the edge of their seats as God reaches down and unveils it. And a baby is His masterpiece. And God Himself has been working on this since, the Bible says, since the foundations of the world, the baby would be born. The Son of God would take on flesh. And all of heaven went, that's it! That's it! They are so excited, they said, the Son of God has now become a man. All of the world says, where is God? And God finally says, I'm here, stepping right into your life. here I am. I don't know about you, but that's the best news of all. No wonder why the angels, could you imagine that moment? If it were the year 2008, could you imagine out in Bethlehem today, a bunch of shepherds, and there were shepherds, keeping their watch over their flock by night. Let me translate that. There were some guys playing cards in the desert, keeping an eye on their sheep. And suddenly, there were angels. And it did, and that word suddenly means to burst upon, to thrust upon. These angels weren't coming down going, hey, psst, turn around, it's me. It wasn't that. These angels showed up and their first words were, don't be afraid! Don't pass out. Why were they going to pass out? Because if all these angels are emptying out of heaven going, man, it's time. And like the dam breaking because it finally happened, all the angels emptied out of heaven. And they're just coming down to say, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Oh. And so here they are and they finally empty this thing and they're standing there. And finally God does this. Could you imagine today these shepherds standing there? If it were happening today in Bethlehem, and they're out there in the field late at night. You want to play some more euchre? Okay. They're sitting out there, and all of a sudden, I could see CNN out there. So what did you see? Well, there I was, standing there, and these lights filled the sky. There were UFOs everywhere. That's the Southern Translation Bible. I can't even imagine their description of all these angels. And they all had one thing to say. They're empty in heaven. They're bursting on the scene. And they're singing at the top of their lungs. You have no idea. You guys, everyone on earth has been asking this question. Where is God? And He finally steps right in to the flesh. 100% God becomes 100% man. It's the hypostatic union of what we know as the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And He would become a baby, who would grow up to become a boy, who would come to know everything that you and I feel and know. He would hurt as a teenager when Joseph dies at a young age, and we don't get to see him the rest of his life. He would know as a young man what it is to grow up in different conditions. He would know what it's like to be just he and his mom and their brothers and sisters. He would know what it would be like to be rejected by his friends when Peter would say, I don't know him. I don't love him. I'll curse his name. He would know what it's like to be like you and me. And so when the angel said, finally, mankind can answer their question, where is God in my life? Where is God in this economy? Where is God in the hospital room? Where is God when I talk to Him at the altar? And I want you to know, He stepped in and the angels came to tell you, He's here. He is here. And if you don't know that, you missed Christmas. Angels are the messengers who say apocalypsis. God has unveiled it. And like a dam breaking, you couldn't hold back the torrent of angels of heaven that had to come and proclaim that message. And here's the message. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Isn't that a nice song? I wish it were true. There's no peace on this earth. I don't hardly watch TV these days because what do you want to watch? 5 soldiers killed in Iraq? What do you want to watch? A child decapitated that they just found in Florida? What do you want to watch? Afghanistan? What do you want to watch? Inner city Detroit? Where do you want to find peace on earth? Where do you want to watch? Let's go to Congress and let's bail out our auto so we don't fall apart. What do you want to watch? Let's talk about the 1 every 20 minutes persons in the United States that commit suicide. What do you want to watch? The spousal abuse and husbands and wives divorcing at a rate of 6 out of every 10 that get married? Tell me where the peace on earth is. I thought you told me the baby was born. The message was clear. The message was clear. People, you mistranslated it. It didn't say peace on earth. Look at what your Bible says in verse 14. It doesn't say, my Bible, I don't think, says peace on earth. The song says peace on earth. I believe the angel said, and on earth, peace to men. Isn't that what your Bible says? That's a better message because we can't necessarily have outer peace, but we can have inner peace. you may not stop the wars. In fact, I just did a little research and found an article on war. Since 3600 B.C., and we do have some documents from 3600 B.C., since 3600 B.C., the Canadian Army Journal in an article said this. That's 5,600 years, by the way. How many years of peace there has been recorded? 5,600 years. Here's how much peace we've had on the earth. 292 years. In 5,600 years, we have been at war. Man has been at war, killing each other. I shouldn't say just men. Women are pretty good at it, too. Do you know that there's been 14,531 wars since that time recorded? There have been 3,640,000,000 people have died in wars that this article mentions. Peace on earth. You've been to my house lately? Peace on earth. Anybody got kids? Peace on earth. Anybody trying to pay the bills? Peace on earth. Have you done the checkbook lately? Peace on earth. Have you been shopping and kind of trying to balance the books and trying to say, what do we get to spend? I want to spend this. You want to spend that. I want this. You want that. Peace on earth. And on earth, peace to men and women. I don't think there'll ever be peace on this earth until Christ returns again. But until that time, I want you to know I have peace in my heart. And in the midst of whatever happens, I know this, that God, what did Wes say? Oh no, you never let go, through the high and through the low. Oh no, you never let go. My God has never let go of me in all the years I have known Him, because it's not just peace to men. Look at what your Bible says. Peace to men on whom His favor rests. The translation in the Greek is this. Peace to men who find the will of God. Good will to men is actually translated literally the will of God. If you don't know God, you don't know peace. Because you can find outer peace for a time, but to find the inner peace in your heart, you have to know the one who is the Prince of Peace, who is the Son of God. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. I find this interesting that for at least 5,600 years, men have wrestled with God, and we have lost, haven't we? You know how restless men are? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever tried to get your husband just to kind of settle down a little bit? How restless they are? Always go, go, go. Always got something to do. Always the next project. Always the next chore. Maybe that's why guys invented remote controls. The restlessness. You ever see a guy just sit through a station for a half an hour? There's a restlessness. Maybe you can do this. I know I'm probably stereotyping and generalizing. But there's a restlessness about us as people. And to find that peace of God that says, I don't have to be restless, means I need to stop wrestling with all my issues. You've heard of soccer moms. Some of you are soccer mom families. That's the mom who has the van that's always on the go, going back and forth to the sports places. That's the new term for the last 5-6 years. I say new term, but soccer mom, big popular term. We're not a soccer family, but I've got a new term. I'm a wrestling dad. My kid got into wrestling, my last son, and I did not know what this entailed until a couple of years ago. But my Saturdays are pretty well. If you've got wrestlers, you know what I'm talking about. And some of you in sports understand what I'm saying. But I got to tell you, I didn't think any of my kids would get into wrestling, and a couple of them did, and doing quite well and enjoying it. And somebody asked me yesterday at a tournament we were at for 14 hours to watch my son wrestle 5 times in 14 hours. Slow. And they said, well, did you ever wrestle in high school? I said, are you kidding me? There's no way you get me doing that with, you know, wrapping up with these guys doing it. That wasn't going to happen. Not that that would have bothered me, but I just thought wrestling was for wrestlers. I was baseball. That's America's sport. Now I am hooked, line, and sinker. 14 hours on a Saturday, and I'm in, and I'm screaming, and I'm up there. I've even got the stamp, the little smiley face they gave me. I'm a wrestling dad. I have the mark of the wrestler. And I say that because I watch these guys, and they're amazing. They get into these pretzel-like things, and they'll half this and underhook that,
And they'll throw legs in and hook here and then there. And you go, okay, he's got it. And then the next guy hooks and wrestles that. And you go, he's got him. Oh, no, he's got it. And they keep doing this stuff back and forth. And I'm going, my goodness. And they're just all tied up in knots. And they are what we call wrestling. And I think as people, we are all tied up in knots without Christ. And we are wrestling with life. We wrestle with our relationships. We wrestle with our own hearts. If truth be told, how many people, if you said, do you have true peace in your heart? How many people wrestle in their life? And they are so twisted and so tied up. And they, you know what? And on the outside, it looks really good. But you know how tired you are? Because for 14 hours a day, you've been wrestling with your finances. You've been wrestling in your marriage. You've been wrestling with your kids. You've been wrestling, worst of all, you've been wrestling with yourself because you don't have peace. And Jesus Christ, born a little baby boy, right there. And the angel said, hey, here it is. There it is. And he grows up and he wrestles for you so that you can have peace. He does the wrestling for 14 hours a day so you can relax. It was so funny yesterday, and I have to say this. My wife cannot record a wrestling match. We have our camera. Last year, we have some friends of ours that are here that they tape for us, and sometimes we tape. Because last year, I'm trying to watch some of these things, and it'd be, oh, go, oh, go, oh, go, 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 go. And I'm watching the tape going, what are we recording? And she's a wrestling mom. And those of you that are in sports, you understand this about your kids. You're so excited. You're just everywhere. And so we have others record for us because we are so wrapped up in it. And we can actually get a good tape. And I want to say this to you. Sometimes we get so wrapped up into sin that we have to have others help us to get to that place where we can find peace in our lives. I can watch other people's kids, and I don't get tied up in those knots because they're not my kids. And you know what? We get tied up into those things that are personal to us. And Jesus Christ comes in and goes, let me hold it for you. I've got a steady hand. I have the power of all creation. I can hold this. Let me take a hold of this for you. And Jesus Christ comes in and I go, okay, here. And he grabs a hold of that, and he puts a hook on it. He gets his legs around it, and he gets his legs just around it, and he locks in. And as he locks into that thing, he says, I think I got this for you, Mitch. And I said, God, you got a hold of that? And Jesus, I got a hold of this. I said, Jesus, would you hold on to this? And he goes, I got a hold of that too. Here you go. I got a hold of that for you. I'll hold on. I'll never let go. I said, you got that? Because, Jesus, I got more coming. He goes, go ahead and hand it off. And he takes a hold of it. And he says, I got that for you too, Mitch. And he takes a hold of that, which I can't take a hold of myself because I can't wrestle with this anymore. I want the peace of God. And he hung on a cross and he took everything because he's steady and his hand is good. And because of what Jesus Christ did at Christmas, I can have peace in my heart because of what he did at Easter. And this morning, I want you to know a baby's been born. And all of heaven flooded this earth to tell you, I got good news. Peace to those who find that Christ child. I have 5 kids, and every one of those have brought me such a joy and a peace. Do I wrestle? Those of you that have kids, you know you wrestle. I remember when my firstborn was born, it was awesome. It was one of those things of, and we had to tell everybody. We had to tell everybody. In fact, my wife said, if you ever do that to me again, I will kill you. Because we were in college, and every college kid in our that knew us, I think the whole campus came. And she goes, I was hurting so bad for hours and just wanted people to leave. 27 hours of labor, finally a C-section, and our firstborn, a son. I remember walking out of that room. At least she had an epidural or a spinal block or all the above. All I had was 27 hours of her just about breaking my hand, and finally that boy was born. I walked out of that room to take a break, and I remember just collapsing on the ground and crying. I said, I have a son. I got a boy. And I told everybody. I called everybody. I had good news. I have a son. And then a couple years later, I had another son. And then a couple years, or a year, hardly 2 years, not even 2 years later, I had another son. We were so excited. We celebrated every one of those. I couldn't believe it. I told everybody. I got
Every one of those. And my wife, I said, are we done? And she said, no, I'd like to try again. And we had a girl. And it was so amazing because she had to check, just in the hospital for every 15 minutes. It's a girl. I remember over and over again, she couldn't believe it was a girl. She says, I just couldn't believe it was a girl. And I remember thinking, well, I got my boys. We're going to wrestle. We're going to play catch. We're going to do things. We're going to go hunting. Now we got a princess, a girl. How do you handle a girl? But I knew she had a girl. And I thought, she'll do really good at that. I'm not sure I'm real good at that. But I remember thinking, I want to do something special. Because the announcement, we have a girl. We were living in Croswell. And I remember driving back to Croswell and from Port Huron Hospital. And I remember thinking, I want to do something special. I'm going to get my boombox. And we had one of those Fresh Prince of Bel-Air boomboxes. I was a youth pastor, and it had an 8-track player. An 8-track player? Or no, it was a cassette player. And I remember going, I'm going to go get our song. That's our song, and it's become our song over the years. It wasn't our wedding, but I said, I'm going to do something special because I want to announce this. I want to do this right. And so I went to the store, and I bought the cassette. And then I went, I bought a dozen red roses with baby's breath, and I had that, and she was sleeping up in the room when I had left, so I went and got all this stuff. I had my big boom box, and I had my cassette tape, and I'm walking through the hospital, and they go, what are you doing? I said, I have a little girl, and people were going, oh, that must be his firstborn. But I was so excited, and I just want to celebrate again, like we had with the others. And so we came up, and because this was her little girl as well, I got in the room and it was quiet, and they had our little Jacqueline in this little cooker. You know, with a little light on it, warming her up. And I know all of you that have kids, I know you can relate to these moments. A baby's born. I remember going in and hooking up the big boombox, putting the cassette in, unwrapping the cassette and putting it in there, putting the baby's breath and the flowers up on the little stand. And I went in, got down on my knees, and I just kind of held her hand. And I hit play, and she woke up. And the song came on by Rod Stewart, Have I Told You Lately That I Love You, That There's No One Else Above You. You take away all my sadness. You fill my heart with gladness. You ease my troubles. That's what you do. And I remember in that moment in that hospital, it was that moment. And she woke up and she's holding my hand and we're crying together. I said, we got a little girl. And that little girl grew up. And one day at dinner, she said, I asked God for a present. I want a little baby sister. And God did that too. And we went, we're not having any kids. And then we found out a week later, we were pregnant. Said, stop praying. Baby was born, and what a blessing. I know what the angels must have felt like when they exploded onto the scene and said, I want you to know something. Peace to men and women who know God's will. Not peace on earth, but that peace. There's a baby that's been born. Do you know him? Good news. Go tell other people a baby's been born. His name is Jesus. Let's stand together.